took one on Saturday. It's the best that we ever eaten. And it Lipton's onion soup.
You gotta write it down. You gotta email it to us.
Good evening and welcome to the Monday, April 4th, 2011, Gaithersburg Mayor and Council meeting. The first item on our agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, and we'd like to ask Alfredo Etoralde to please come forward and lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Alfredo. The next item on our agenda is the invocation. This evening, in lieu of a formal invocation, we'd like to ask for a moment of silence. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes. This evening we have two sets. The first is for the regular meeting of Monday, March 7th, 2011. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'll move approval of the March 7th minutes.
Second.
So moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. And the next is for the work session of Monday, March 28th, 2011. What is the pleasure of the council?
Mr. Mayor, I move the approval of minutes of the City Council work session Monday, March 28, 2011.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
One abstention.
Carries 4-0-1. Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda is consent items, and we have four this evening. What is the pleasure of the council?
Move for approval of consent items.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously. Next are appointments, and tonight we have various committees before you. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'll move the resolution confirming the following appointments and reappointments. To the Gaithersburg Washington Grove Volunteer Fire Board, Dolly Kildee, term to expire April 2012. Reappointments of to the Community Advisory Committee, Sabrina Rivers, term to expire April 2013. And Multicultural Affairs Committee, Washington Sangu, term to expire April 2013.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously as well. I know there are people in the room whose name we have just called. Could you please stand so we can properly recognize you?
Washington.
Please. Thank you very much for serving. Next, I know this is not going to come as a shock. We have some presentations to make, which I think is the reason the room is so filled. And I'm going to ask for the first three, if the mayor and council could please join me at the podium, along with Angel. And if we could please invite Alfredo to come back. He's used to the podium already, please. Congratulations. We have a certificate of recognition presented to Alfredo Colina Etoralde, who's a recipient of the 2011 Carson Scholar Award. On March 7, 2011, the Carson Scholars Fund named Gaithersburg High School 10th grader as the 2011 Carson Scholar for the second consecutive year. Second consecutive year. That deserves a round of applause. Achieving student, Alfredo had demonstrated outstanding academic achievement and humanitarian qualities. He carries a 3.90 GPA. That deserves a round of applause. and has been a counselor in training for his school and an assistant English teacher for ESOL parents at Montgomery County Public Schools Saturday School, and a volunteer in the Montgomery County Public Library Summer Reading Program. In addition to the scholarship award, Alfredo will be honored at a recognition banquet on Sunday, April 10, 2011, where world-renowned pediatric neurosurgeon Dr. Benjamin Carson, who we have heard speak, and you are in for quite a treat, will deliver the keynote speech. Congratulations. You made the choice. Next, we're going to be giving a certificate of recognition for the Chelsea Harris for the 4A indoor track high jump state champion. Is Chelsea here?
No.
Is Dr. Christie in any college? She's not here, coach. Harry and Chelsea, good to see you. This sophomore is a member of the Gaithersburg High School's indoor track team. She won the 2010 4A state title for the high jump with a jump of 5.5. Now, Kathy Jaskula mentioned that's higher than she is, but the indoor track team is led by head coach Melissa Ashby and assistant coaches Ashley Burley, Fran Perry, Nate Perry, and Chad Wilson. Are they here as well? No. I don't care, you doing. Well, and the principal, Dr. Christy Handy Collins, and athletic director Jason Woodward. Please, congratulations. I was going to tell her she should hop right over here, but that was Next, we're going to have the certificate of recognition presented to the Gaithersburg High School 2010 Maryland 4A Girls Varsity Basketball State Champions. That is a we have our head coach, Adrian, who's better known as Hot Dog McDaniel, right here. We have a principal, Dr. Christian McCollum. High School, and they never won it when he was there. But anyhow, it was Fred Evans. The boys did. Fred Evans is here. He deserves a round of applause. The Gaithersburg High School girls varsity basketball team won the 2010 Maryland 4A state championship, led by head coach Adrian McDaniel and assistant coaches Daniel Whitlow, Eric Burnett, Barb Saxton, and Ariana Brown. The Lady Trojans ended the 2010-2011 season with an undefeated record, 25-6.
Sarah Seif. Kyla Hooks, our manager. Paulisha Wood. Deja Rollins. Octavia Scott. Famada Ajavan. Kara Marshall. Joanna De Guzman, she's our manager. Jordan Kemp. Colleen Marshall. Michelle Winters.
Lacrosse.
Denisha Sanchez. Jackie Jackson. Alina Gallard. Adrian Hot Dog McDaniel. Daniel Whitlow. close. He's not here. Eric Burnett.
Congratulations.
Aranda Brown.
Coach Barb Saxton.
And I would like to also thank Mayor Katz. He's always been supportive. Every time we called him, he would always come through. If we needed something, he'd say, come on down, hot dog. And I mean, he's been very supportive, and I really want to thank you for all your support.
Good evening. We'd like to thank the city for recognizing the team this evening. This was a tremendous experience, not only for Gaithersburg High School, but the entire Gaithersburg community. And when we talk about Trojan pride, we're not just talking about that for Gaithersburg High School, but for the entire Gaithersburg city community. So thank you so much, everyone, for your support. We want to congratulate our young ladies again for representing Gaithersburg, the city, and representing Gaithersburg High School and showing what Trojan pride is all about. Thank you so much.
Marks the 43rd anniversary of the passage of the U.S. Fair Housing Law, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1968 as amended, which stipulates a national policy on fair housing without regard to race, color, religious creed, national origin, sex, familial status, and handicap, and encourages fair housing opportunities for all citizens. In addition, Chapter 27 of the Montgomery County Code prohibits discrimination in both residential and commercial real estate on the basis of ancestry, sources of income, sexual orientation, age, and family responsibilities. The City of Gaithersburg is committed to promoting the Fair Housing Law, Title VIII of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, by continuing to address discrimination in our community to support the programs that will educate the public about the right to equal housing opportunities, and to plan partnership efforts with other organizations to ensure that everyone has a right to fair housing. Montgomery County fair housing laws are administered by the Office of Human Rights. With us tonight to accept the proclamation, if I could please invite James Stowe to please join us as well, the Director of the Office of Human Rights, and Marissa Wills, who's also here, we saw him earlier, the Fair Housing Program Manager with that office. This is the proclamation from the Mayor and City Council of Gaithersburg designating April 2, 2011 as Fair Housing Month in the City of Gaithersburg in recognition of the City's commitment to provide fair and equal housing opportunities in our community in support of the administration of fair housing laws, ensuring that everyone has a right to fair housing. It's presented today and signed by me. Congratulations.
Let's be fair.
Makes picture balance.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Please. Mayor, members of council, to the administration, we are so very pleased to be here. Louise, thank you for the great work she does for on behalf of the city of Gaithersburg. We're so very pleased to be here. We know that housing is the fundamental thing for all of our community that really makes us a quality place to live throughout Montgomery County. And so we certainly believe in that. And I know that the county executive also believes very much in this idea as well. But people who do the work need to also be given an opportunity for the recognition. And Mr. Wills does the work. So I wanted to come up and say hello and express on behalf of the county what we feel about fair housing. Missy.
I just wanted to say thank you so much to the mayor and the city council, and of course our partner Louise, who does such a wonderful job for the city. And we're very grateful for this opportunity and honored by the city. Thank you so much.
And thank you for being our partners in many programs as well. Next, we're going to have a proclamation from the Mayor and City Council designating April 2011 as Arab American Heritage Month in the city of Gaithersburg. And I'd like to invite everyone who's associated with that proclamation to please come forward. I know we have Dr. Abir Elan Fayi, who's a French and Arabic professor at Shepherd University and Montgomery College, and everyone else to please come forward as well. I was going to say some people don't want to come forward. Very few, however. We have a proclamation of the Mayor and City Council of Gaithersburg, whereas since
thank
the 1880s, Arab Americans have constituted an ethnicity made up of several waves of immigrants from the Arabic-speaking countries of Southwestern Asia and North Africa. And whereas Arab American heritage reflects a culture with a strong commitment to family, economics, and educational achievements, and whereas Arab Americans have contributed greatly to the success of our nation in the areas of commerce, business, politics, education, medicine, and the arts, and whereas Montgomery County is home to a thriving Arab American community whose valued presence has added to the rich cultural mosaic of our community, and now therefore I, Sidney A. Katz, by the power vested in me as Mayor of Gaithersburg, do hereby proclaim April 2011 as Arab American Heritage Month in the city of Gaithersburg, and encourage all government officials, educators, businesses, and residents of the city to honor and recognize the contributions of Arab Americans to our city's culture and well-being. It's proclaimed today and signed by me. Congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening for everybody. My name is Abir Kait Pilon. I'm resident of Gaithersburg, the most beautiful city in the world, and I'm very humbled to be chosen to receive this proclamation on behalf of the Arab American community. I'm professor of at Montgomery College. I teach political science, Arabic, and French. And also I have been involved in many organizations such as a Middle East Peace Civic Forum, where I'm working as a vice chairman of the board. Middle East Pacific Forum is a nonprofit interfaith organization based in Maryland, Virginia. Our goal is to enhance peace between Palestinians, Muslims, Christians, and Jews. I also work as a media associate at Al Mubadara, Arab Empowerment Initiative. And in closing, I would like to thank the mayor, the city council, and the city manager, of course, and also, of course, the entire city staffs for recognizing the April as Arabic. As Arab American Heritage Month, that means a lot to our community, especially the children. To us, this acknowledgement is the first step in building a solid bridge between our communities. So thank you very much, and a big thanks for Samira and Juliet for being behind this wonderful job for almost more 10 years. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone, and I'm Samira Hussain. Since 1997, April has been proclaimed as an Arab American Heritage Month by Montgomery County, and we are very proud to say we are the only county in the whole United States we celebrate the whole entire month. So we do a lot of activities. We do many festivals in the public libraries. We do exhibits. We do a lot of activities with the students in the schools. And we seal the month always with the festival. So I invite all of you to come Sunday, April 17th, 12 to 4, to the festival. It will be the Boer Park Activity Center right here in Gaithersburg. And we thank the mayor, the council, the city manager, the city staff, and of course the Multicultural Affairs Committee with Linda Plummer and Olivia Barrios right here for co-sponsoring this event. Without their help and their leadership, none of this would happen. And I wanted to thank the Arab American community who always been there to support us as well. And the students at the University of Maryland on the 9th of this September, this Saturday, the 9th of April, they will also celebrate the Arabian night and with, of course, the festival and dinner and so forth. So please come and join us in all these activities, and we look forward to seeing you there. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to invite Crystal to stay up here, please. And Nora Fitzpatrick, is she here?
She's coming.
How are you? And I'd like to invite Tom Rouse to please join us as well, please. This is a proclamation for National Autism Awareness Month in the city. At no other point in recent history has the need for autism awareness been more important. In 2010, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention revised the autism prevalence rate to 1 in 110 children. In December of 2007, the United Nations passed a resolution declaring April 2nd as World Autism Awareness Day in the United States. The entire month of April is dedicated to spreading awareness, recognizing that early diagnosis is key to providing the necessary resources and supports to children. In an effort to promote awareness, Autism Speaks launched the Light It Up Blue campaign. Many of us are wearing blue this evening. A global initiative to shine a bright light on autism as a growing public health crisis. Iconic landmarks around the globe, including the Empire State Building in New York City, Wills Tower in Chicago, CNN Tower in Toronto, and Kingdom Tower in Saudi Arabia, as well as airports, bridges, museums, concert halls, restaurants, and retail stores around the world have participated by lighting up in bright blue. In recognition of National Autism Awareness Month, the City of Gaithersburg has a blue floodlight shining on City Hall this evening. Last Friday, city employees wore blue clothing and autism awareness puzzle piece pins, which I'm wearing tonight, to commemorate the month. We asked Nora and Tom to please come forward to Light It Up Blue campaign to accept this year's proclamation designating April as Autism Awareness Month in the city. Whereas autism, also known as autism spectrum disorders, affects people regardless of race, religion, socioeconomic status, or geography. And whereas the incidence of autism in the United States is approximately 1 in 110, according to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, and whereas persons with autism can be helped to reach their greatness, potential, their greatest potential, accurate early diagnosis and the resulting appropriate education and intervention, as well as community acceptance and accommodations are vital to the future growth and development of the individual. And whereas the greater recognition and understanding of autism can ensure that individuals with autism are accurately diagnosed and appropriately treated throughout their lives. Now therefore I, Sidney A. Katz, by the power vested in me as Mayor of Gaithersburg, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2011 as Autism Awareness Month in the City of Gaithersburg. It's proclaimed today and signed by me. Congratulations.
The council for having me here today. It's really important to me to spread as much awareness as I can. I'm one of the co-chairs of the National Walk, and my daughter Rory is five, and she was diagnosed 3 years ago. There is no better place in the United States to live than right here if you have a child with autism. The services are great, the schools are great. When she was first diagnosed, we thought about moving, being closer to my dad and our cousins and stuff, and it turns out that we couldn't break away. This is just too great of a place to live. And one way it was really proven was for Light It Up Blue, we went out and bought blue light bulbs for our whole street and left a little note explaining that our daughter had autism, for the people who didn't know us, and asked our neighbors to light it up blue and shine a light, and our whole street was lit up blue two nights ago. And it just shows you how good people are and how good the people in this city are, that they would go to the trouble for someone they kind of know a little or don't know at all. And it's really one of the great reasons to live here. So thank you all.
Thanks, Nora, that was great. And I just wanted to throw in just a couple of comments, and that was, it's amazing what you can do when you get teamwork together. And we've teamed up all throughout the United States, throughout the world, to go ahead and do this Autism Awareness Day. And just seeing those pictures of staff go up on the monitor was fantastic, because it shows the teamwork in our own community. And autism is a disorder that we have to find a cure for. Not that we can, we have to find a cure. And I'm hoping that through awareness and through education and understanding and teamwork, like we've seen depicted here, that someday we will find a cure. So thank you very much.
Next, Crystal gets to stay up here for the whole day, I think. If we could call to the podium, please, Joan Strasnick, who's the Montgomery County National College Fair Chair, Debbie Prochnell from Watkins Mill High School, Jerry Sliffman from Gaithersburg High School, Amora Stewart, and David Mullaney from Prince Orchard High School, to please come forward. And Crystal, would you like to do the honors?
Good evening. In support of National Association of College Admission Counselors Week long initiative to promote college access and success for students in Gaithersburg, the city is issuing a proclamation designating the week of April 11th through 15th, 2011 as Gaithersburg Goes to College Week. To commemorate this week, students and parents will have the opportunity to meet with counselors and learn about college application and financial aid processes at Montgomery County National College Fair on April 13th and 14th at the Montgomery County Agricultural Center. At this time, we'd like to call to the podium, and we have our counselors here, to accept this year's proclamation on behalf of Montgomery County's National College Fair Committee. Thank you for all that you do.
Do you want to read the proclamation? And I'll do the grand award.
This is a proclamation of the Mayor and City Council of Gaithersburg, whereas the National Association for College Admission Counseling, NACAC, is dedicated to supporting the work of counseling and enrollment professionals as they advance student access to post-secondary education. NACAC is committed to promoting high professional standards that foster ethical and social responsibility. And whereas NACAC, founded in 1937, is an organization of more than 11,000 professionals from around the world, dedicated to serving students as they make choices about pursuing post-secondary education. And whereas the education and success of city children is valued in the city of Gaithersburg, and the public good is advanced when young people are taught the importance of good character, hard work, and education. And whereas effective partnerships with their area school staff, parents, and community are necessary to the promotion of success for all. And whereas Montgomery County College Fair and the career college coordinators and our local high schools provide valuable educational resources to our city residents, now therefore I, Sidney A. Katz, by the power vested in me as Mayor of Gaithersburg, do hereby proclaim the week of April 11th through the 15th as Gaithersburg Goes to College Week in the city of Gaithersburg. It's proclaimed today and signed by me. Congratulations.
On behalf of my colleagues, fellow CCICs, and the members of the National Association for College Admissions Counseling, and its affiliate, Potomac and Chesapeake Association, thank you, Mayor Katz, for proclaiming next week as Gaithersburg Goes to College Week. As college admission counseling professionals helping students in the transition from high school to college, We appreciate your commitment to increasing educational opportunities for Gaithersburg youth. The NACAC College Fair, to be held next week, will provide an opportunity for students and families to begin the college search and selection process by meeting with admission counselors from 280 colleges and universities nationwide. Thank you again for partnering with us to help students develop aspirations for the future and begin the college admissions process. Thank you.
Okay, in conjunction with this proclamation, we are pleased to also recognize the College Career Information Coordinators from these three. Don't disappear.
You're not, you haven't graduated yet. Please come here.
From the three local high schools, we're Gaithersburg recognizing Educational Achievement Today Grade Awards for their ongoing work in supporting high school students with their future goals. Each of these coordinators provides services to students and parents in an effort to develop a solid foundation for going to college, educating them on college options, financial aid resources, types of majors and careers, and important application deadlines. Information is given to students through college workshops, school websites, one-on-one counseling, and at on-site centers. It is our pleasure this evening to call forward Debbie.
She's here.
Okay. Jerry and Elamora.
Amoria,
the one that didn't want to come forward, and David Mullaney from Clitheroe High School to receive our great award. These plaques will go on to your place.
In 2 weeks.
Item that we have is public appearances. This is a time that the mayor and council sets aside for anyone to come before us on any topic that's not a public hearing topic on tonight's agenda. Tonight we do have two public hearings. We ask that you please keep your remarks to no more than 3 minutes. Please note the timer will beep and blink yellow when you have 30 seconds left of your 3 minutes so that you can begin to finish your statement. The timer will beep and turn red when your 3 minutes is up. Please state your name and address for the record. Do we have anyone that would like to speak this evening? Please.
Good evening, Linda Plummer, 17720 Garrett Drive in Gaithersburg. I come before you on behalf of the Friends of the Wells Robertson House and invite you to don your jeans and diamonds for this Friday for our Denims and Diamonds Gala, 7 p.m. at the Gaithersburg Hilton Hotel. We have the anchor, Mr. Jim Hanley, as our MC. We have tons of good food, an oldies but goodies band, and 65 items of your choice to auction off. So we hope to see you for an evening of fun, field fun, dancing, and all kinds of exciting exchanges in the community. We look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. We look forward to being there. Anybody else, please? No? Okay. Next is from the mayor and council, and this evening I'd like to start with Councilmember Drisgula, please.
Okay. I don't have too much. I was happy to join some other council members and the mayor at the Gaithersburg Interfaith Alliance Luncheon, which we had a chance to meet with people from a lot of religious and social service groups and talk about how the city can help them and how they can work with the city. Also was very happy to attend the Employee Appreciation Breakfast. Obviously we actually appreciate our employees every day of the year, but this was a time to make a formal announcement and particularly to reward people who had particular anniversaries of 5, 10, 15, 20, or 25 years. Michael probably say who they were. I'm not putting you on the spot. Sorry. And I would just like to remind everyone, obviously, spring is here. We're going between warm and cold, wet and dry. And on the really nice days, I've seen a lot of people playing outside, a lot of people driving really crazy. That's not a good combination. So I hope people will enjoy the weather without forgetting to take due care for everyone else around them who's also enjoying it. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Mike, please.
Well, I echo what Kathy said about the appreciation employee appreciation breakfast and the other events. There was an event on Saturday that a number of us were able to attend. We got to attend the grand opening of a new chocolate factory in the city of Gaithersburg. I believe we're the only municipality in the county, in Montgomery County. I don't even know how many municipalities in the state of Maryland have their own chocolate factory, but we have one on Main Street in Kentlands. And it, the name of the new store and factory is Spangvola Chocolatier. And we got a great tour of the factory itself and learned about the sustainable farming methods that that are used to bring the chocolate beans from the Dominican Republic to the factory there, and how and all the different grades of chocolate, the whole process of how they make these very rich and tasty and sweet chocolates. And yeah, we all had a buzz, I think, as we left, just from
Mike ate all the free samples.
Actually, I was kind of shaking.
And then had coffee to come in.
Anyway, I want to welcome Spangvola to Gaithersburg. They are a new employer and a new business on Main Street, and you won't have to go very far to find your chocolates for those important holidays. I think we should probably have a chocolate holiday at least once a month, and that would be one place to buy them. Again, I was really delighted to be here today for recognition of Autism Awareness Month by the City of Gaithersburg, and for the proclamation here. It isn't very often where I can talk about an intersection of that kind of recognition that the city does and my actual job at the National Institutes of Health, where I work at the National Institute of Mental Health, which is the institute at the National Institutes of Health that spearheads the autism research program and coordinates that for all of the government agencies involved in autism research. Finding a cure, improving diagnosis, preventing the disorder, and helping families and communities deal with the disorder, and helping families improve their care and of those individuals. I think it's important to remember, as with any mental disorder, it's not just the individual who's affected by that particular disorder, but it's the entire family and often the community that is also affected, but also has a significant role in helping individuals cope with the disorder and get better and improve. So it's a pretty big research effort that NIMH is kind of managing for National Institutes of Health and for other agencies in the United States and internationally as well. So I'm glad to be part of that. I'm glad that we can have the intersection of that occasionally here. So I just wanted to again congratulate our scholar athletes today. It was a tremendous showing of and recognition of athletic skill and persistence and good school spirit. That I think that those athletes, those young women, do a great job of representing not only their classmates and their high school, but also the city, and really proud to be able to recognize them tonight. So that's about all I have.
Thank you very much. Henry, please.
Well, I want to also talk about the young ladies who are here tonight. It's particularly dear to my heart since I had daughters that ran track and played basketball and other things. So I know with these parents how proud they are and how proud the girls are themselves. They deserve all the applause they got tonight. I'm glad to hear the program for autism. You know, in our family we have a similar problem, tubular sclerosis, and there's research and awareness needs to be done, and sometimes they go hand in hand, the two. And so I encourage everybody to stay involved, do some research, spend the money to support all research and awareness that goes on. And then last week, just to show you how talented everybody is in the city, I went to Quince Orchard High School that did their play, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and that was outstanding. We have some very talented young kids in this city. So congratulations to everybody on a great performance. And that's it.
Ryan, please.
We have a theatrical Chocolate Factory and a real Chocolate Factory. That's pretty
absolutely
cool. Well, first, regrettably, I was unable to attend the employee appreciation breakfast this week because I had a last-minute work emergency at my day job. I had planned to go to that, as I do every year, and so I just wanted to personally and publicly thank all of the employees of the city who do such a great job and let you know we do really appreciate everything you do. I also wanted to add my congratulations to all of our student scholars and student athletes, and also to the teachers and the coaches and the parents and the administrators who do such a great job supporting them. And I have a formal announcement. The mayor and city council are seeking members to fill two vacancies on the Board of Supervisors of Elections, one member and one alternate. The Board of Supervisors of Elections works in conjunction with the city's Department of Legal Services. The board oversees the registration of voters, petitions for elected office, and officiates over all city elections, regular or special. The board consists of five members and one alternate who are appointed by the mayor with the approval of the city council. Members serve staggered four-year terms. Regular elections are held in odd-numbered years. This year is an election year. On the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, with the next election set for Tuesday, November 8th, 2011. All applicants must reside within the corporate city limits. Resumes and letters of interest should be submitted by 5 p.m. on April 15th, 2011 via U.S. mail to Mayor and City Council, 31 South Summit Avenue, Gaithersburg, Maryland, 20877, or sent via email to cityhall@gaithersburgmaryland.gov. For more information, visit the city's website or contact City Attorney Lynn Board at 301-258-6310. And finally, I just wanted to add the comments from my colleagues about all the important recognitions that are going on this month, all the plaques and the honors that we gave out earlier tonight are all very worthy causes, and it's great to be able to participate in them and acknowledge them, and that's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with that. I also want to echo it and point out that tonight we saw examples of the academic and the athletic achievements, and like Henry, I had a chance to see the cultural side of what the kids are doing in town with this weekend at the Quince Orchard High School with their Willy Wonka production, which was, as Henry said, quite excellent. I'm always interested and happy to see Gaithersburg goes to College Week. For some parents, the other 51 weeks of the year are Gaithersburg pays for college.
And that week too, by the way.
That week too, yes indeed. They should get a recognition at some point, if I do say so. Since we're now entering Arab American Heritage Month, I wanted to mention, and I'll sort of tie in the book festival here, one of our speakers at the book festival is Dr. James Zogby, who is the president of the Arab American Institute and a regular on a lot of the political shows and a blogger on Huffington Post and whatever. He actually has written a book called Arab Voices. He is an Arab American, and his book is Arab Voices, and it's based on polling that's been done by his and his brother's polling firm, Zogby International, where they polled people and families and I guess it was all families, I'm not sure, but they polled a whole lot of people in Arab nations to get their opinions on America and about their culture and quality of life and sort of the things that they're most interested in. And it's really interesting. Actually, I think his thesis is that they're very much concerned with the same things that we are concerned with. It's not a lot of difference, and I think it's an important message, and I really think it'll be a great presentation at the book festival. And speaking of the book festival, there is a fundraiser tomorrow evening. Everyone has to have dinner anyway. You might as well have it at Cheeburger between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. If you tell them that we are that you're there for the book festival, we have a flyer too. They will donate 20% of the proceeds to the book festival, and we can use all the money we can get. And that, I have a formal announcement as well. Mayor and Council are seeking a member to fill a vacancy for an alternate position on the Planning Commission. The commission consists of 5 members and 1 alternate. The Planning Commission directs the growth and development of the city by reviewing all annexation requests, zoning applications, subdivision plats, site development applications, and plans for municipal improvements. This 5-member commission appointed by the Mayor and Council works in conjunction with the city's Department of Planning and Code Administration. The Planning Commission generally meets twice monthly on the first and third Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Additionally, they attend occasional joint public hearings and work sessions with the Mayor and City Council on Monday evenings. Resumes and letters of interest should be submitted by 5 p.m. on April 15, 2011 via U.S. Mail to Mayor and City Council, 31 South Summit Avenue, Gaithersburg, Maryland 20877, or send an email to cityhall@gaithersburgmd.gov. For more information, visit the city's website at www.gaithersburgmd.gov or contact Community Planning Director Trudy Schwartz at 301-258-6330. Thanks.
Thank you. And Mike, you had something else to
add? Yeah, I was in such awe of the student athletes that I just forgot about this. Sorry. So a closed meeting was held at City Hall by the Mayor and City Council of Gaithersburg on Monday, March 21st, 2011, at approximately 8:50 p.m., pursuant to a motion adopted unanimously. The meeting was closed pursuant to State Government Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland, Sections 10-508A1I, to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom it has jurisdiction, and 10-508A1II, any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. Present at the meeting were Mayor Katz, Council Members Ashman, Drizgula, Marafa, Sesma, and Spiegel, City Manager Jones, and City Attorney Board. Upon conclusion of the discussion, the closed meeting was adjourned at approximately 9:50 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you. It's my understanding that we need a motion to conduct a closed executive session this evening. What is the pleasure of the Council?
Mr. Mayor, I move that the Mayor and City Council of the City of Gaithersburg conduct a closed executive session tonight, Monday, April 4th, 2011, immediately following its regularly scheduled meeting pursuant to the State Government Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland, Section 10-508A7, to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice. The topics to be discussed are PEPCO and a property matter.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. This month is going to be strange for meetings for us. So next Monday, April 11th, the Mayor and Council will conduct a special meeting starting at 7:30 at City Hall to introduce the city's FY2012 budget for public hearing and notify the public of the scheduled hearing to establish a constant yield tax rate for the city for FY2012. There might be one other item as well which could come up during the public hearing. At the conclusion of that special meeting, as I say, it's going to be a short special meeting, we will immediately begin our joint work session with the Planning Commission to discuss MP-1-11, which is the draft land use element, which is an amendment to the 2009 master plan. Please note, on Monday, April 18th, we will not have a Mayor and Council regular meeting due to the Passover holiday. Monday, April 25th, we're going to have a work session to receive a report from economic development consultant Orion Ventures LLC, Mike Knapp's firm. Our next regular meeting of the Mayor and Council will be on Monday, May 2nd at 7:30. Next is from the City Manager, please.
Nothing this evening.
Okay. Next is we're going to hear from the Deputy City Manager, Mr. Tomasello, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Pretty brief tonight. As you know, the city runs a program called Voluntary Income Tax Assistance, and we often get emails starting out with interpreters are desperately needed, and it just brings home the fact that interpretive services or interpretation services in that program just make it run. It just cannot run without English Spanish translation. And the two people that actually run it, Cindy Hunt and Maureen Hernan, asked if I would recognize some of our employees that have responded to that call for a lot of times at the last minute to show up evenings and weekends as volunteers to help with the income tax assistance, which runs through April 15th this year. And they are Herbert Ackerman, Elena Ingram, and Laura Morales from the Police Department, Olympia Huff from Parks, Recreation, and Culture, Luis Zabala from Public Works, Gil McClamaco, who is a Human Resources here at City Hall. There are several other volunteers that come from the Spanish Catholic Center and from Interfaith Works. And also, they wanted me to mention the assistant branch manager at Capital One Bank here in Gaithersburg, Elfie Meneses, I believe is her name, has worked as a volunteer a number of times, too. So they just wanted to have a little bit of recognition for
thank
our
you.
Employees.
Thank you. Could we please applaud them and tell them what they're doing? And please tell them in several languages that we applauded them. Please, please.
Do we happen to have the contact information for folks who want to contact, learn about possibly getting us tax assistance from MIDA? Or should we just have them call City Hall?
It's on the website, and okay. You can call City Hall as well. He said it is running down. It's an appointment program. There may be some slots open. I'm not sure about that. Second, I just wanted to follow up quickly on my comments last meeting relating to the process for potentially declaring the Kentlands Firehouse surplus in preparation for exploring potential uses. I want to stress again, as we always do, that we have no offers or potential deals, nor do we have any authority to entertain them at this time. We just want to keep our options open. But we've worked out a timeline that has us coming back before you for a public hearing or public discussion on May 20th, 2011. So anyone interested in the process can look for an announcement on our website in the next couple of weeks. It's required to be posted for at least 20 days on the website. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Next is ordinances, resolutions, and regulations, and I believe we have one this evening, and I believe Lynn Ward will explain that to us.
Thank you. Before you this evening for final action are amendments to Chapter 17, the personnel chapter of the City Code, to amend Sections 17.4, 17.9, and 17.10. These amendments were introduced in February. Public hearing was held on March 7th. The record was closed on March 17th, and it's before you this evening for final action.
Any questions of Lynn? If not, is there a motion?
I'll move the ordinance.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Next is public hearings, and this evening we have two. The first is a consolidated planning process for the community development block grants, and I believe Louise Kaufman will be explaining that to us.
Purpose of this
can
hearing.
Can you hear Louise?
Speak up.
You got to speak into the mic, please, and louder, please.
The purpose of this hearing is to introduce Gaithersburg's receipt of community development block grant funds for fiscal year 2012 and to describe how these funds may be used to benefit low to moderate income and special needs households. This hearing will also give residents and interested organizations an opportunity to offer recommendations as to how CDBG funds should be used in the upcoming year. HUD requires that a minimum of two public meetings be held during a program year. Prior to tonight's public hearing, staff conducted two public meetings to solicit input for the use of the funds and to assist eligible nonprofit agencies working on behalf of city residents to understand the application process. These meetings were held at the Activity Center or Park on February 9th and 10th, 2011. A separate daytime meeting was held at City Hall on Friday, February 11th, during business hours. The primary goals of the CDBG program are to provide decent housing, a suitable living environment, and expanded economic opportunities, principally for low and moderate income persons. The city is required to use a minimum of 70% of CDBG funds for projects that benefit persons of low or moderate income, including homeless and special needs persons and households living within low to moderate income communities based on census data. 20% of each year's grant may be used for planning and administrative costs, and 15% may be used to fund public service projects. Remaining funds are used for capital or other eligible activities. Following receipt of the annual action plan, which is due to HUD on May 15th, funds will be available on July 1st, 2011. As you all know, the 2011 federal budget has not been approved. So this year we have $486,000 available to us, and it's really anybody's guess what we'll have next year.
So this year we've already been allocated the 486. You're saying that the 2010,
July 1st, 2010 through June 30th, 2011.
But you know, after that, it's you know, it's
marginal.
A, you know, I was going to say on tonight's
hey,
the word
the
word jump ball takes a whole new meaning tonight. But anyhow, any other questions of Louise? Thank you, Louise. This is the time that the mayor and council hear from anyone who would like to speak on this public hearing topic. We ask that you please keep your remarks in no more than 3 minutes. Please note the timer will beep and blink yellow when you have 30 seconds left of your 3 minutes so that you can begin to finish your statement. The timer will beep and turn red when your 3 minutes is up. Please note that any additional testimony that you might have can be submitted to the city in written form and will be a part of the record just as your oral testimony. Please state your name and address for the record. Do we have anyone that would like to speak on this topic? Please.
Good evening, Mayor Katz and City Council members. My name is Brandon Howard. I'm a resident of Silver Spring. My address is 1220 Blair Mill Road.
Can you all hear him? You're going to need to speak up.
Okay.
Please.
Unit 300.
Don't be bashful.
Silver Spring, Maryland, 20910. I'm the director of Star Scholars Academy, and this is my wife, our assistant director. We started Star Scholars Academy in 2008 at Gaithersburg Middle School in an effort to promote summer reading and to reinforce reading and writing skills among a diverse group of rising seventh graders. Now our program is much more. We use a variety of multimedia, such as books, newspapers, videos, books on CD, art, competitive games, and the internet to reach students with a variety of learning styles. In 2009, we began providing an introduction to the PSAT. And this year, we plan to partner with an SAT provider to offer our traditional course offerings and an SAT prep class to 25 students. I provided a summary sheet that outlines our plans for this summer. Over 51% of our student participants are participants in the free and reduced meals program, meaning a household of four makes $40,793 a year or less. We look forward to providing these academic enrichment courses to these students this year. The program has been free since its inception, and we plan to keep it this way. And we would think that the grant would do great wonders in helping us maintain that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I was going to say, for the record, and I think there's a question for you, but for the record, Everett Davis, who's an assistant principal at Gaithersburg Middle, did submit a letter for the record in support of your organization as well. But Ryan, please.
Not a question, just a friendly suggestion.
Okay.
The gentleman to my right probably will be contacting you about doing something with the Gaithersburg Book Festival. It sounds like it would be a natural fit for your organization. We'd love to have you participate.
That sounds great. And I like the sound of the Gaithersburg Goes to College Week, too.
And really, Judd didn't even move his lips when Ryan
said that. He's got you well trained. Yeah.
Absolutely. Anybody else in the
audience? 10%.
Anybody else in the audience, please? No? Okay. It's been suggested that we leave the record open until 5 o'clock p.m. on Friday, May 6, 2011. What is the pleasure of the council?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously. Next, we're going to hear from Trudy Schwartz, who is going to explain an abandonment for a road, please.
Good evening. This is a public hearing for abandonment application AB 58. It is an ordinance to abandon, release, and vacate approximately 11,904 square feet of land previously dedicated for a portion of South Summit Avenue, located adjacent to 206, 208, and 210 South Summit Avenue and 314 South Frederick Avenue in the city of Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Trudy, can you move that mic a little bit away from what I think it's getting a little bit of the feedback? Go ahead.
The hearing was duly published in the city on the city's website on March 8th, and the property was properly posted. At the present time, there are 26 exhibits in the record file. They're referenced in an exhibit list in the file. The individual exhibits can be reviewed in the Planning and Code Office during regular business hours of City Hall. Any objections to the receipt of any exhibits should be noted prior to the closing of the record, otherwise they will be deemed received in evidence. If I can get you to go to the monitor. This is a location map of Gaithersburg High School. It's along South Frederick Avenue. It's accessed via Education Boulevard and South Summit Avenue. And this is a zoomed in area showing the proposed area to be abandoned. As you can see, the property is the house at 206 and 208 are houses that are properties that belong to this Gaithersburg High School or the Board of Education. And then over here is the campus for the Church of the Ascension property. This is a pictorial sketch of the proposed area of abandonment. Staff is of the opinion that this road was dedicated before actually Gaithersburg was incorporated. We do not have a copy of the plat for Summit Park, but it was shown on the 1894 map which was part of the city's survey. Adjacent to the property is the three lots that belong to the Board of Education. One of the lots, the house was demolished in 2004, and then the church property. And then, so on both sides of the street are owned by the Board of Education. As the council knows, and many citizens, Gaithersburg is proposed for modernization of the high school. Currently, the South Summit Avenue, it's very hard to delineate where it ends and the school board property begins. But right now, it currently goes through and there's a connection to Education Boulevard. The new layout of the campus will continue to have a connection from South Summit Avenue through the student drop-off area and the visitor parking spaces to Education Boulevard. However, the building and the roadway go into the current right-of-way of South Summit Avenue. The Montgomery County Board of Education has requested that the abandonment of the right-of-way, because it now owns all the adjacent properties. Chapter 19 of the City Code, which is Streets and Sidewalks, states that the City Council may abandon the right-of-way easement if it shall find from the evidence of record that the right-of-way is no longer necessary for present or anticipated future public use. No right-of-way providing the sole means of ingress or egress to any property may be abandoned by the action of the council without the written consent of the owner of such property. On February 18th, all the utilities and the state and county road agencies and the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Agency was notified of the proposed abandonment. No objections were received. Because the construction of the new school building, most of the existing utilities will be terminated before they reach the area of the proposed abandonment. The school board's been working with the utilities to create a utility phasing plan, and the only utility to remain in this area is a WSSC easement for a fire hydrant. Additionally, the adjoining and confronting property owners were notified in accordance with the city code. concerns about the snow removal and turning radius were addressed by the conditions that were suggested by the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission reviewed this on March 16th, 2011, and recommended approval of the abandonment with those two conditions. The draft ordinance was amended since your introduction back in the beginning of March to include those recommended additions. And should this be approved, this abandonment will be incorporated in the subdivision plat for Gaithersburg High School. Representing the applicant tonight is Sean Benjaminson from AdTech Engineering and Dennis Cross from Montgomery County Board of Education.
Okay, thank you. Do either of you gentlemen have anything to add?
Before I turn it over to Sean to present, I do have a letter here from the Director of Division of Construction I'd like to read to you, if I may. Dear Mayor Katz and City Council members, due to the intense construction schedule and sequencing of the site work, particularly in the area of the abandonment, Montgomery County Public Schools Division of Construction would like to respectfully request that the Mayor and Council close the record this evening, Monday, April 4th, 2011, and take action. Should you have any further questions, please contact me.
We're going to contact you very soon. We normally do not do that, and because someone might be watching the basketball game this evening or whatever, so.
Well, they might be watching us live and want to send
an email in. So we do have a special meeting next week. So I guess, and we'll have to figure out the logistics of this. What would be the
we can close the record on Friday the 8th to hear it on the 11th.
Does Friday the 8th give you enough time to put it in the packet, or do you need to do it on the Thursday?
Well, I mean, if you're okay with it not being in the packet, you know.
Do it on Friday, okay? And that's what I would propose, so that someone that would send it.
Mm-hmm.
That someone would who wanted to send who's at home this evening wanted to send a statement has that ability, and that way you'd still have your whether it's abandoned or not, you get your answer whether it's abandoned or not by next Monday.
Oh,
so that, I think
so
that's
more than acceptable.
Yeah, okay.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. Any?
Do you have any questions about the design?
No. Okay. Did anybody have any questions of no?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is a time we hear from anyone in the public who would like to speak on this public hearing topic. I think they're abandoning us. Okay, I'm going to all right, so what is the pleasure of the council, please?
So we close,
go ahead.
Move we close the record at 5 o'clock on Friday, April 8th.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Add that, please, to our agenda for the special meeting next week, which shouldn't be that long of a night. So,
I'm going to into it anyhow.
Thank you. Next, we're going to have policy discussion and staff guidance. Tonight we have one item, and I believe that we're going to hear from several people. Please.
Good evening. This is the policy discussion for schematic development plan application SDP 11001, the Crown Farm neighborhoods 1 and 2. This application also includes the road code waiver application RC 44. This plan is in accordance with the approved and amended X-182 annexation agreement and sketch plan Z-315. The plan proposes a mix of uses, including 339 townhomes, 60 single-family detached homes, 1,149 multifamily units, and 257,400 square feet of future commercial uses. Neighborhood 1 is the commercial center and houses the multifamily. Neighborhood 2 is composed of single-family homes. A joint public hearing was held February 7, 2011. The Planning Commission recommended approval of this application with conditions during their March 16, 2011 meeting. The Mayor and Council's record closed at 5 p.m. March 17, 2011. Draft resolutions for both SDP 11001 and RC 44 have been included and are ready by separate motions for final action should the Council so choose. To begin the discussion, I'd like to turn it over to Director Assant, who will now give an overview of what's occurred since the public hearing.
Thank you, Rob. Rob's going to navigate, and we're going to use the plan that's actually on the monitor. I'm going to walk through the changes since the joint public hearing, and then and we'll be available to answer any questions and the applicant is here, of course, to answer any questions as well if we need them and their team. It's pretty thorough staff analysis as part of the Planning Commission's package, and so I'm going to run through that fairly quickly compared to the analysis itself, which goes into a lot more detail. But starting with Neighborhood 1, since the joint public hearing, the multifamily building at Lot 3 has been extended to finish the block and minimize the visual impact of the abutting garage. Enhanced forest conservation and landscaping has been added along Sandlack Highway and Fields Road, and the garage and building concept elevations have been enhanced. In Neighborhood 2, a double row of trees was remedied at the request of Public Works. Two additional pocket parks were added in blocks L, M, and N. Block J was reconfigured to align another pocket park with the historic property, which is Lot 35. The single-family detached house abutting the historic farmhouse property has been reoriented. The design guidelines have been revised to address some staff concerns. The forest conservation plan has been revised to redistribute the forest conservation and limit impact on the future city park. And the circulation plan, Mr. Mayor, I think you asked for that, has been included into the record to illustrate how you enter and exit the community as well. As Rob mentioned, we were at Planning Commission recently, and they voted to approve with some conditions. I wanted to talk about the staff conditions, which are 1, 2, and 3, and then move on to the Planning Commission's two commissions, 4 and 5, and talk about those for a moment.
Do you know what pages you're...
The conditions are in the resolution. They're also in the staff analysis as well. So the very first exhibit is the resolution.
All right.
The first condition really deals with the left-hand turn that we talked about from Diamondback towards Samike Highway. After the joint public hearing, staff huddled with Department of Public Works as well as the applicant. It's in everyone's desire to get the left turn movement back. The reason it was precluded was at the request of Public Works because we did not have a definitive from Montgomery County Department of Transportation. We didn't want to do something and then have to undo it later. So what we've done is crafted this condition, and although the application originally showed no left turn there, the intent is to bring it back. Since that time, we did receive a letter from Mr. Greg Leck with Montgomery County Department of Transportation indicating to our Public Works Division that it's really their call when it gets internal to the project. We believe that, we hope that that's the case, and we'll bring the left-hand turn movement back, but we want to be absolutely certain, 100%, that we don't get down the road 2 years and have the county change their mind on that. So we'd like to get it in writing from the county, and so that's what the condition states, is that we get that in writing from Montgomery County Department of Transportation, or at least concurrence that the letter that they sent us is in fact, we're looking at the same thing and on the same page.
All right, but what happens if they don't do it? What happens if they say that they're not going to do it? What are we going to do then?
Well, then the left turn, we won't be able to have that left turn.
I understand, so, but yeah. Do we need to do something? If we can't get that, do we need to do something else?
No.
No, okay. No.
That changes the circulation quite a bit.
It would preclude that movement. Yeah. So, but again, the county has indicated that internal to the project, it's the city's call. We just want to make absolutely sure.
I think
County DOT has been fooled us before, so we want to make sure.
Would we consider making that a one-way street at that?
We'd have to take a look at that, but I'm not sure. Jim can probably answer these questions a little bit more or a little bit better. But I don't know if we've looked at it as a one-way street coming in or out of the project. The idea is to be able to get from DeCoverly and get out of the project as opposed to just in.
Right.
And the county actually designed the intersection at Samike. We're worried about stacking at that intersection of Street D. So.
And that's the one that would more logically be called
Diamondback Extended.
If you can connect.
Yeah. Correct, right. Yes.
What are we going to call that street? Because on the other side of Sam Mike, it's called Diamondback. So what are we going to call
it? Probably going to call it Diamondback. D is a street D is
street
for Diamondback.
Street D is Diamondback, but it also intersects with Diamondback.
Well, we're looking at that.
We can't do that anymore. No. I'm telling you, that just is terribly confusing.
We just had this change an address, a set of addresses in Kentlands because of this kind of situation, so...
Not exactly the same, but certainly we'll sit down and we'll make sure that the street names get straightened out. We want to make sure that the county, we have to run them through the county, and we have to make sure that that's okay, that if it's Diamondback continued, and that's fine, and it'll have to go across the intersection. But then we have to name north of that up to Fields Road, and whether that's Rio Extended or whatever that turns out to be, we just don't know yet. So it has to go through park and planning, Montgomery County, and as well as the city internal process. So.
Okay.
Conditions number 2 and 3 are both at the request of the Department of Public Works and are self-explanatory. But moving on to conditions 4 and 5, these are the two that the Planning Commission added as part of the CPC. And the CPC, while it does say to recommend approval of the plan with some conditions, it really doesn't give a lot of justice to the deliberation that the Planning Commission went through, and the chairman wanted me to be very clear that they spent a lot of time on some of these issues, and that's the result of these two conditions. The first condition is that the applicant, or the fourth condition, is to work with us, that the applicants to work with staff to address the commercial and residential transition on Street G. And Rob, zooming into that area, one of the concerns of the commission is the spine road that enters the feeds into the commercial center is a straight shot, so to speak, all the way from what will be future to Coverly, presumably, and that it's likened to Schiaffele Square Road, where we ended up having to go in and retrofit it with stop signs, and there's constantly speeding concerns and those types of things. So Planning Commission very clearly stated that they wanted the applicant, before it comes back for final site plan, to enhance that transitional area. And it's not just a change in material in the streets or pavers or sidewalks or landscaping, that it's probably more dramatic than that. And so we're working with the applicant currently to make sure that that happens before we take it back for final site plan, because we need to make that transition from the residential into the commercial. And of course, that's where the gathering area is too for the commercial town center. So we want to make sure that we get it right. But that's what condition number 4 is referencing. And I'll move on to condition number 5. And condition number 5 has more to do with the street and the streetscape, and go out a little bit wider. Part of the problem is the dynamic between the existing DeCoverly Drive that comes out of DeCoverly, and it's actually planned and was built with based on the county's master plan to have it connect with Diamondback across Sam Ike. So it's a lot larger than what it transitions to in the commercial center or neighborhood 1. And so you've actually got the lower part of it, which is currently there. Then you've got a what the applicant has proposed is more of a retail walkable street. And then as you get closer to Fields Road, it fans back out, and in order to get the intersection correct, it fans back out and is yet a third transition of that streetscape. So that's, again, one of the things that the Planning Commission insisted we work on and get resolved before it comes back for final site plan. The applicant is working very hard to make that happen. There's a linear park on one side of the street, so we want to make sure that we retain that, but that we also address the Planning Commission's concerns. With that, I'll open it up for questions. And again, the applicants here, although the record's closed, they can certainly answer questions if you have questions about the materials that have been submitted. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions, please?
Yep. We talked about this offline. Maybe you can shed a little light on it now. The county's long-term planning process for Sam Ike Highway, and we're talking long term, probably 20, 30 years, whatever that's going to be, is ultimately to sink Sam Ike under Diamondback, the intersection with Diamondback, and the intersection with Fields as well. Is that right?
That's correct. The reason for the county requiring the additional right-of-way that we dealt with back at Sketch Plan was so that they could get what they consider to be the master plan right-of-way for Sam Ike Highway. And essentially what the county would have you do is it would be a straight shot all the way to Great Seneca Highway without intersections at Fields, without an intersection at Diamondback. And very similar to the grade-separated interchange that we have at Washingtonian Boulevard where the Kohl's is. So ultimately, when we're talking well into the Great Seneca Science Corridor plan in years down the road, but ultimately Sam Eich Highway would be below, would be sunken down to match up with Great Seneca Highway, and then there would be a grade-separated interchange at both this location and Fields Road.
So in 20 or 30 years, you wouldn't be able to make a left out of that.
I don't even think, I think that's way too soon. Have they ever done that anywhere? Come back and retrofit it?
Well, what do
they do with the traffic? Montrose.
Montrose was a state road. That's the state.
You should see Montrose and 355. It's crazy.
So, well, right. So
the state has done it. The county, I don't know that they have.
Whether or not it actually happens or how practical we presume that it is, it's right. What the county's insisting the right-of-way be. And so that's really had a major impact on the commercial neighborhood and require that. So not only does it affect the intersection today by the configuration of how you get in and out of the project and the things that we're dealing with this evening, but it's also going to affect it long-term, but hopefully in the positive. But the numbers that would need to be approached in order to facilitate a grade separated interchange there in Fields is a little hard to grasp at this point.
Sure.
So
sure. But it is worth reiterating, as you mentioned.
Yes.
This is all controlled by the county and there's really nothing we can do about that.
That's correct.
Anybody else, please?
Relating to that, the potential changes, I was confused. We have two drawings that show they're talking about planting material along in the right of way and next to the right of way. And I mean that these drawings are probably accurate, but I can't really tell very well what they're intending to show. I guess my concern is obviously this is a long-term. We don't expect the change to happen for quite a long time. But if we're, and I know some of the plants in the right-of-way are required for reforestation requirements, and that's fine. But my concern is if the plants on both sides of the line are planted so they interact with each other, and then later on we come down and tear down half of them, how will the remaining ones look? Obviously, there's probably going to be some kind of outcry when that happens. We saw what happened with the trees at Lake Forest for dam maintenance. So I'm just wondering if there's any possibility of doing this in a way where maybe instead of having a line of planting on both sides, that there was some on this side and then this side like this, so they wouldn't affect each other. Mm-hmm. And when the change came, you could fill in the gaps or something like that, so that the two plantings would be more independent than what looks on here, although I can't really tell what's on here.
During the Planning Commission recommendation, there was a lot of questions about this also, and this is something we're definitely going to be focusing on upon final site plan. And I agree with you totally with what you're saying, that we don't want to have it where it's so tight together that you can't tell. If you look at the diagram that I have on the screen now, this is the planting within the right-of-way. What they're showing and what we will definitely focus on upon final site plan is that it's closer to the existing Sam Eich. Mm-hmm. If you go to with what is going to be not in the right-of-way, we've worked with the applicant right now to really delineate where the PUEs are and what setbacks. So there is going to be a setback from the property line, and we're definitely going to focus on different species of plants too. So probably with this, obviously with this area within the right-of-way, as it gets closer to the grocery stores, things like that, we will probably lean more towards the evergreens because we don't want the leaf fall. We don't want it to all of a sudden show it. If we're going to have screening, we want it to be true screening. Within the right-of-way, we have far more flexibility. So we may have deciduous trees, things like that. And part of the agreement, Montgomery County understands, whatever they remove here, eventually, should they ever take it, they have to replace in the agricultural reserve. Mm-hmm. So we are sensitive to that, and we do hear clearly, and I think the applicant does too, when it comes to final site plan for this landscaping, we definitely want space in between.
And PUE is public utility easement.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Other than that, I just add I'm glad to see that I think pretty much everything we brought up previously has been addressed. So I mean, somebody might have something I didn't miss.
Obviously, Rob did all that. But anyway,
absolutely. And the applicant had something to do with it too.
And the applicant. Excuse me. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah,
to the
I think it's clear that the applicant and staff have been working pretty closely on getting this, addressing our concerns and issues. In particular, I think that the number of us have talked about the architecture, the parking structures, how to mask architecturally how what those buildings look like, whether they, we don't want them to look like parking structures as much as possible. I think that the renderings we've seen are better than what we've seen before. I think there might be some green elements that could be added to a couple of those that would be important, useful again in disguising those profiles. The building that I am concerned about, though, the one parking structure I am concerned about is the multifamily F lot one, plan two. I don't know. It's basically the one bordered by Street D and Street H and Diamondback. And that parking structure is going to be at the top of a hill. I guess the stormwater facilities are going to be right below it. But it will be, and we actually had a resident of the townhomes or condominiums in the DeCoverly development right below that asked that some design features be incorporated that would actually do a better job of disguising it than what we'd seen before. Now I know there are plans for a green screen there and a vegetated green screen as well as other features, but I think we need I'd like to see some more architectural features there that would again disguise that. The other question I would have with that lot, that parking structure in particular, is what kind of lighting will be on the top surface, though, so that we wouldn't have lighting problems on the surrounding homes down below that can be pretty bright. I think we kind of had to deal with some of those issues on the Summit project as well. So I'm hoping that as this design goes further, that there'll be some further architectural enhancements or features to make that look a little better. I'm not a big fan of waiting for trees to grow up to hide a building.
I think that's a real mistake.
We've talked about this before, so I think we need to do a better job of coming up with architectural features that actually disguise that. So the other question, I had a question about the pocket parks and the green areas within the pods here. I guess I'm still calling them pods. And I was going to ask about community gardens. We talked briefly about this. One of the aspects, I think a community garden is another thing that makes a neighborhood sustainable. As we're looking at creating sustainable neighborhoods, we'd like to have that option available. What's happened in Kentlands now is, many years after the fact, about 20 years, the community decided they wanted to have community gardens. Well, there really weren't many places to put those because access to water other features that would make it feasible to have a community garden, a shared garden, weren't designed in. And I think this is the time to do it. We need to identify those sites and perhaps make sure that we can provide water and other facilities at those sites so that they're usable and secure and represent something that the community be proud of as well. And that's whether it's in this part of Crown Farm or the second phase as well. The other issue that I wanted to raise, I was looking through a lot of these maps yesterday and kept noticing the streets were designed for a 35 mile an hour speed limit, and I'm a little bit concerned about that because I don't think we really want people to be driving 35 miles an hour on any of the streets here. And I know that's probably just a design feature of how we engineer the roads, but what will be the speed limits on those neighborhood streets? We've got three levels of traffic here. So I'm just curious about that. But anybody else who might be casually looking through the plan is going to see 35 mile an hour design. So I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Yeah, I was going to ask Jim to come up and see if he could provide a better explanation than I've got.
Okay.
Yeah, I really haven't looked at that issue, but all of our neighborhood streets are at 25.
All the neighborhood streets,
Are 25 mile an hour, right?
Yeah.
So even if it's designed for 35 mile an hour, we're still going to post them as 25. Throughout this neighborhood. Okay. And the last comment I had was the this entrance off of Sam Eig into Crown Farm on Street D or Diamondback, whatever we call it. It's an interesting entrance because going east on Sam Eig, you can make a right-hand turn and go into Crown Farm. Going west on Sam Ike, you can make a left turn going into Crown Farm. But coming, I guess, south on Diamondback, you can't go directly into the neighborhood. That forces a driver who wants to enter the neighborhood or the community to make a left turn, go all the way up to Fields Road, and then to come down the other side of Diamondback, I guess. So is there a reason why, I guess this is probably State Highway Administration or the county has decided it's there the will county. Be no straight entrance in there?
They had started that. This goes all the way back to the other side when the Crown Point subdivision mm-hmm. came in. And part of their concern with Sam Ike Highway, as everybody's well aware, as you get farther south, it gets even worse. So yes. It was trying with the signalization to get something that could work to get some movement, but not hold up everything along Sam Ike. And that's part of the reason why right now you can't make a left from Street D onto Sam Ike, because they don't want additional traffic heading south. I forget the intersection farther south, but it's the one that is failing everywhere. The county has master planned as, you know, tons of grade separated clover leaves and everything, just try to minimize it. So those were the issues that came in at the Diamondback Sam Ike right now. That's why they were fine with the left in from Sam Ike into the Crown Farm, the right out onto Sam Ike from the Crown Farm. But they, in their design going all the way back, had problems with straight across and making a left back onto Sam.
I mean, yeah, it almost makes sense not to even have that left turn there off of Sam Ike, and just to have all the traffic entering off of Fields Road. And I don't understand, you know, the engineering here, we've got a stacking problem whether we build this place or not. We've got a stacking problem all the way back to Story Drive, almost back to Muddy Branch because of this intersection. So. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know that it's not going to be solved in this, you know, in this consideration, but I just, there's just too many complications here that are very strange, and I don't know.
Yeah, the county, and again, they were a big part of the design of this intersection, mm-hmm. actually, because they knew what they wanted. And one of the frustrating things about this project is that the county really feels that all of the traffic needs to be up at Fields. In that intersection, that's where all the turning movements would be, because they want an uninterrupted trip off of the ICC into the Great Seneca corridor. So as Rob mentioned, they want as little as possible happening at this intersection, and do not view it the way that kind of internally staff views this, as an entrance to the community. It's more of a pressure relief valve in the county's eyes. So it's been a challenge. We're continuing to work on it. Ollie and Jim are in very close contact with Greg Leck and the folks at Montgomery County Department of Transportation. Of course, the right-of-way issue played into that as well. So,
I mean, if it was limited to a right-in, right-out, that would solve a lot of problems. And then getting rid of the left-in off of Sam Ike, that would make a lot more sense than what we've currently set up here now.
You're saying it's better without the left?
Yeah, without the allowing the left across traffic is probably the best.
Greg, you said the key word there was to keep working with them. They have a couple of other intersections in a county like that, down off Democracy Boulevard, and I use it. And the traffic trying to solve the problem, not having a straight through, is worse than just letting the cars go through. Yeah. So if you could talk to them and you work with them, you probably could work something out. Because it's not a good, you know, the alternative is not a good situation. So, you know, it's like I'm solving a problem, but we didn't solve it. We just created another one.
You know, Mike, I just wanted to respond to your point. I think that I appreciate where you're coming from, but I think that we want as many access points into the development as we can, given how many barriers we've already got around us from the county's plan. So while I understand what you're saying for, you know, sort of consistency's sake, you know, it makes sense to just get rid of the turn, I think that because we already have other problems with access, we should keep that turn. So.
I agree, because if there was a problem on Fields Road and you were coming from that direction, you couldn't get in at all.
Right. Yeah, and we also, the intent there is to keep the delivery trucks and those types of things out of, you know, especially for the grocery store, to keep that stuff off of Fields Road from that small entrance and from kind of the main. So it's almost, we don't want to call it a service entrance or exit, but that's the primary for those types of deliveries and vehicles. But again, for the same reason that we have suggested condition number one, the county hasn't approved the design of the intersection yet, and until they do, we will continue to work on them.
Yeah, because I can see stacking coming on for westbound traffic on Sam Ike, you know, waiting to make that turn. They'll be stacking at Fields Road as well,
yeah.
But you know, it's just, this is a big problem at this particular location. So I think those are all the issues that I have. Is, you know, I want to thank the applicant for working hard on most of the parking structures. I think you got one more to work on, so I hope you can do that one. You know, there are other aspects of the plan that I would have liked to seen, especially on the main street where we're going to have the CCT line go through. I would have liked to have seen some idea of what the future would look like in terms of commercial development along there on that big boulevard. But you know, it's an improved plan. So,
and on the parking garage, yes, you know, the one that we would looked at, it's been a couple, I guess probably a couple of years ago now, but the one at Orchard Pond that they were talking about,
yeah.
We came up with some designs on that when perhaps they can include something like that.
Yeah, I think
because the vegetation really takes forever.
The reference to green screen, the applicant's presentation, and we brought this to their attention,
yeah,
after the hearing, was that green screening was not pine trees in Leland Cypress,
yeah.
And that we needed to work a little bit harder. And the Planning Commission said pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
that,
it needs to be something with the building.
Because if we don't believe that the trees are going to be there forever, or can't believe that at this point, we need to make sure that the structures themselves are done well, and because that will be a very busy intersection with a number of trees.
Anybody else,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, I just want to sort of pick up on some of the points Mike was making about design elements. I think this development is one with a lot of potential. It's a great place for retail where we can expand on successes that we're having at Washingtonian Rio. And you know, it's got potential to be everything we want in the subdivision with a whole bunch of different housing options and friendly to pedestrians and ready for transit and attractive streetscapes. But that last part, attractive streetscapes, I just want to, I know after tonight's vote, if we vote to approve, this is going, it will be in the hands of the Planning Commission. The developer spoke of distinctive, identifiable landscaping elements. Mike brought up design elements, Sydney brought up the garage. I'm really hoping to see all of that come to fruition. I know concerns have been brought up from the dais about facades, the way things look from Fields and from Sam Eich, and how it invites people in from the outside. And this is one of our last greenfield developments, one of our last, and we want to see it we want to see it win awards. We want to see this thing be fantastic, be great. And so I just want to leave it with that, leave you guys with that thought in mind, and I hope the Planning Commission really makes it happen with you guys, and staff continues to work successfully with the developers and make this thing great.
I feel like Judd was reading off my notes. That was almost verbatim what I was going to say, which is good.
Like
we're, my lips aren't moving this time, right? I'll echo what a lot of what Mike and Judd said. I continue to have some of my own reservations about some of the details of the proposal, all the things we've already talked about, facades, what I brought up at the public hearing about how inviting the project will be from the outside and how it'll fit into its surroundings, the traffic flow. Obviously, we've talked that to death, and there are a lot of limitations that we simply can't control from the county. But you know, in general, I think it's a good project. I think that the applicants worked really hard, worked with staff to address a lot of our concerns. But I do still have some of those reservations, and I think for me, procedurally, I think it's appropriate for those reservations, the level of detail that we're talking about, to be addressed by the Planning Commission at the final site plan. Bearing in mind these are concerns that we have, I think they're concerns that the Planning Commission has as well, and so I will trust that they will deal with those fine-tuning issues at that point. But I will echo pretty much everything that Judd said.
Anything? No. What is the pleasure of the council?
I move that we approve SDP 11001.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. And have an RC 44.
I'll move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously as well.
Thank you
very much. Thank you all. A lot of hard work.
Next is from the...
Hurry up and build it, okay?
Yeah. From the Deputy City Manager. Do we have anything, Mr. Tomasello?
That's good.
Ms. Ward, good. Nothing? Any other staff?
Louise.
Somebody else? No? Okay.
Louise stood up. I think she's leaving.
Louise is leaving? Yeah. Louise coming up?
She doesn't want to talk to us anymore.
Okay. Please note that we are having an executive session immediately following this meeting this evening, next Monday, April 11th, and this does get a little confusing. The Mayor and City Council will conduct a special meeting starting at 7:30 p.m. at City Hall to introduce the city's FY 2012 budget for public hearing and notify the public of the scheduled hearing to establish a constant yield tax rate for the city for FY 2012. We'll also be voting on the abandonment, I think it's AB 58. At the conclusion of that work session meeting, we will immediately begin our joint work session with the Planning Commission to discuss MP1-11, which is the draft plan use of element and amendment to the 2009 master plan. Please note, on Monday, April 18th, we will not have a mayor and council meeting due to the Passover holiday. The Monday, April 25th, we're going to have a work session to receive a report from the economic development consultant, Orion Ventures, LLC, which is Mike Knapp. It's Mike Knapp's firm. Our next regular meeting of the mayor and council will be on Monday, May 2nd at 7:30. Thank you for being with us. We are adjourned.